look down through verse 15. And so this week we'll stay there. Look down through verse 15 again. We didn't get it all yet. Amen? There's more there. We want to take advantage of in this portion of Scripture. On the parable of the sower and the seed. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And so we looked at this parable last week and, of course, discovered right away that God is pro-life. God desires life. God desires fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is nothing more than abundance of life. That's what it is. The fruit of the Spirit all tends towards life. It's the blessing of God. Romans 8:6 says, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Colossians 1:10 says, being fruitful in every good work. God's desire for all of His people is to bear fruit, to bear much fruit. You can do good works and yet not be fruitful. Amen. They could be good works of your own volition. They could be good works without God's blessing. And a lot of times what happens to God's people is they do good work. This isn't even part of the message. The Lord's leading in this. They're doing their good works, but they wonder why nothing's happening. They're not seeing any fruit from it. It takes the blessing of God. You have to make sure you have the blessing of God in that. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. The result of the blessing of God is that life, is that abundance, is that fruitfulness. Jesus said, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Amen? The Lord's desire is to get glory, and He's going to get glory from us by us bearing fruit for Him. We looked at this last week, Adam in the garden. God put him in a place of fruitfulness, a place of abundance. All Adam had to do was keep that garden. Everything that grew out of that garden, out of that ground, Adam's job was just to keep it. That ground is the picture of the heart. We saw that last week. See, that heart, that's the ground. You know what the Bible says to you and I? What are we supposed to do? We're to keep, just as Adam kept the garden, we're to keep our heart. See? Keep thy heart with all diligence. You see a few weeds springing up, you better pick them. Don't let them grow too much. Amen. You see that ground getting hard, you better get it softened up. Amen. You see it lacking moisture, lacking fertilizer, you better do something about it. Amen. It's our job, each and every Christian, it's our job to keep our own hearts. I can't keep your heart for you. You have to make up your mind you're going to keep your heart. You have to tend to it. What's going on in there? See, the only way you can tend to it is if you're paying attention to it. Amen. You got to pay attention to that thing and realize what's going on in there. See, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All life is all the fruitfulness. It's all going to come from the heart. Are you keeping it? Are you being diligent to keep it? That's what we're required to do. Now, last week we looked at this idea of the hindrances to life and fruitfulness that Jesus demonstrates and shows us within this parable. There are things that hinder us from being fruitful. Number one, of course, the devil. Number two, a hard heart. And number three, worldly affections, or a double heart. A heart that, oh, I love God, but I love this world. And that'll never bring the fruit that God desires. The devil's agenda is very plain and clear in the scriptures. The devil is, well, he would say he's pro-choice. What he is pro-death. Amen? Anybody that says they're pro-choice is just pro-death. It's the opposite of life. If you're pro-life and you're the opposite of pro-life, what are you? But see, the devil makes it sound good. He says, I'm going to give you a choice. You see, you're saved and you have liberty, so you can choose whatever, do whatever you want to do. You're saved by grace. You have choices. No. No, your choice should be to obey God. You have liberty to obey God now. Now, you can choose not to. That's your liberty. Your liberty is to choose to serve God or choose not to. You got freedom to do that. You're going to heaven no matter what you do. What are you going to do? Well, there's only one way you're going to bear fruit. There's only one way you're going to bear fruit. You better choose to do it God's way. Amen. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his agenda. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God's desire for every single one of us is a fruitful Christian life. The fruits of the Spirit. A winning others to Christ. Having a real impact on the world. Affecting the world for God instead of the world affecting you. Amen? But now we're going to look at this thing when it comes to the requirements for a fruitful life. Obviously, the Lord wants us to have a fruitful life. And within this parable, he gives us what is required if we are going to be fruitful. Look with me in verse 7 of the passage. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. Notice how he explains that in verse 14. And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. What happens when all those weeds start growing up around that plant? What is it doing? You know what those weeds eventually will do? They will block light from getting to that plant. They will hinder light from getting to that tree. They'll block the light. You see, your cares of this life, what they'll do is they'll begin to block the light. And you won't be able to get the light anymore. As if a plant is going to become a fruitful plant, it must avail itself to as much light as possible. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You go where there's no light, there's no life. Amen. Go back in them deep, dark caves, go down way deep, mile down in the ocean where we can barely even get to and visit now, there's no life there, or very little. Amen. You have to have light to have life. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, do you love light? Do you love light? I wish I could make all God's people love light. Sometimes I feel like I just got to force feed you. Just get in church and just eat it and like it. You can't do that. You either like the light or you don't. You ever see plants and they'll grow and as they start flowering and everything, you watch them, they'll follow the sun throughout the day. They'll lean this way in the morning towards the east, and then as that sun's, they start leaning that way. You ever notice that? They have a propensity to lean to where the light is. Why? Those plants love that light. They understand that if they're going to grow and become fruitful, they have to get as much light as possible. Do you love the light? You either do or you don't. What'll stop you from loving the light? He already told you, those worldly affections. See? That'll hinder your love to the light. I mean, why read the Bible when you could watch the show? See? Why get around this light when you could do other things that you enjoy more? We okay this morning? Are you hearing me? Are you availing yourself of the light? Well, you know, there's a revival meeting this year. I should make it out for one of those nights. No, you should make it out for all those nights. Amen. Amen. How many of you have the Bible figured out? You got it all down. Nobody raised their hand. All right, how many were in Sunday school this morning? Not all of you. You didn't avail yourself of the light. It's not that important to you. Now, Pastor Ray, no, you. Listen. It's not that important to you. That's all. You got other things to do. I understand. It's your one day to sleep in. You don't mind getting up for work. That's important. Come on now. If you get more light, is it going to help you be a better Christian? Is it going to help you be more fruitful? You know what you need? You need light. You have to avail yourself as much light as possible. And not just church when the doors are open. You ought to be reading that Bible. You ought to want the light. You ought to desire the light. I shouldn't have to beat you up about reading your Bible. You should want to read the Bible. See? A healthy plant desires the light. It's attracted to it. It wants it. You shouldn't have to force yourself to do that. You should look forward to it. Amen. You should look forward to, oh man, there's some preaching on. Let me hear that. I want to hear the country station. No, I want to hear the preaching. I mean, which one are you? Do you understand? You want to get some good Christian music and listen to it? You want to get light, see? Are you availing yourself to as much of that as possible? You ought to. You ought to. You need that light. Oh, how I love thy word. It is my meditation all the day long. Is that you? Oh, how I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. That ought to be our heart attitude towards the Word of God. You know the problem with these neo-evangelicals is? See, they have nice candy food, but you know what they don't provide? Light. They don't give any light. You want a real evangelical? Here's an evangelical for you. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Spurgeon's ministry was characterized by unhesitating exposure of error. He stood uncompromisingly against Roman Catholicism, for example. Consider this excerpt from one of Spurgeon's sermons, which demonstrates just how much he was not a new evangelical. He's quoted as saying the following, "It is impossible but that the Church of Rome must spread when we, who are the watchdogs of the fold, are silent and others are gently and smoothly turfing the road and making it as soft and smooth as possible that converts may travel down to the nethermost hell of popery. We want John Knox back again. Do not talk to me of mild and gentle men, of soft manners and squeamish words. We want the fiery Knox, even though he vehemence should ding our pulpits into blads. It were well he did but rouse our hearts to action." That's an evangelical. You know what they did? They exposed error. They put light on where there was anything wrong or any hazards or any dangers out there. These neo-evangelicals, they're not doing that. And Christians aren't getting light, and because of that, they're not going to produce the right fruit. You need to avail yourself of all the preaching and all the teaching and the reading and the devotions and the study that you can. And you do that, and there's going to be those that mock you. There's going to be, oh, you're a fanatic. You're too much into all that. Hey, you know what they're doing? They're saying, hey, why don't you stay in the dark with us? We want you to be unfruitful like we are so we don't feel out of place. That's all that is. I love the old Bible, precious old Bible, a light in my pathway to shine. Amen. It ought to be. It ought to be. Do you love it? You ought to be. You ought to. If you're a healthy plant, see, you'll love the things of God. Well, you know, I don't think you need to go to church every time. You mean you don't love the light? You know, that means you're an unhealthy plant. You're one of these ones the Lord's warning about. You'll never bear any fruit. Lord already said everything about you. He's got your number. He's got you figured out. Not only is it going to require light, it's going to require something else if you're going to bring forth fruit. Look at verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. You know what it's going to take for you to be fruitful as a Christian? It's going to take an honest heart. It's going to take an honest heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, if you're not careful, when the pastor makes decisions, you'll start following your heart instead of following God. You know why we had problems in this church a while ago? They're well-intentioned. They were following their heart. Humanist. It's not spiritual. Amen. You need to realize that. You need to learn from that. You need to see that and say, you know what? I let my emotions, I let my feelings, I was following my heart instead of going by what that book said to do. Amen. Amen. It's, listen, your heart will deceive you. Don't trust it. Well, I'm just following my heart. Don't! It'll mess you up. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You've got to have an honest heart to see that, to recognize that, to look at yourself. Say, oh man, where'd I go wrong? Oh man, what am I doing wrong now? What's in there that should... Are you keeping your heart? You see, you can't keep your heart unless you're honest. The only way you're going to bear fruit, you've got to be able to look at yourself and say, what is my problem? Amen. You've got to be able to shine a light right here and say, there it is. You know what? They don't want to do that. You don't want to be that honest with yourself. I mean, that gets scary. It's a little too much exposure. I mean, the preacher, he's getting a little too far down. I don't like this guy. Uh-huh. See? You know what you got to do? You got to shine a light way down in there. And honestly, look at that thing. What's the problems? What's the issues? Where am I off? Where am I out of the will of God? Where are my motives impure? Do you do that? I mean, take a magnifying glass and a halogen, man, and get on that thing. That's an honest heart. If you're going to be a fruitful Christian, you have to do that. I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but you have to be honest enough to realize where you're not and be able to spot it and say, look at that. That ain't right. I got to start working on that. Amen. That's all. And we all have things we got to be working on. So why? That's how you keep your heart with all diligence. That's what you're going to have to do. And you can't do that unless you have an honest heart. If you have a deceitful heart and you just let that deceitful heart go, you will never bring fruit for the Lord the way you're supposed to. You'll deceive yourself and start bringing in a bunch of wax fruit in baskets and thinking you're bearing fruit. You're not bearing fruit. That's why you have to keep faking it. Boy, it got quiet right there. Ding. Well, I'm offended. Well, he wasn't very nice. Well, that wasn't a very positive message. Well, he didn't make me feel good about myself. Who cares? Did you get some light? Look! Nathan comes in to David. Thou art the man. What's David's response? Oh, God. Not, who do you think? Uh-uh. You see? There's David. David wasn't a perfect man, but you know what he had? He had an honest heart. And when the Lord said, look, right there. Truth, Lord. Me. Amen? That's how you have to be if you're going to bear fruit. If you're going to bear fruit. Look in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John. And truth be known, that's why some of you don't like coming to church more than you do. You're getting enough light in one morning service, that'll do me for a while. Call getting nervous in the service. Amen. 1 John chapter 1. Now notice, I'm not saying this because I don't love you. I want you to bear fruit. I want you to, hey, you know what one of the fruits of the Spirit is? Listen, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. What's the next one? Joy. Amen. Love and joy. What's 1 John all about, man? It's about love and joy. I mean, that's 1 John, those fruits. Look here in verse 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. How are you going to have fullness of joy? You can't do it unless you're going to be honest with your own filthy, stinking heart. It's the only way you're going to be able to do it. Look at verse 5. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. What are you going to do with that light? And in him is no darkness at all. Hey, you're going to get in fellowship with God. You know where you're going to be? You've got to be in the light. That's the only way you can fellowship. You can't fellowship with God in the darkness. God doesn't hang in the darkness. You fellowship with God, you have to fellowship with God in the light. But when you fellowship with God in the light, what happens? Your heart gets exposed. Amen. That's the only way you can fellowship with God, is to be in that place where he can continually be exposing your own heart, your own mind, your own motives, and everything about you. And so in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Nobody here is claiming to be sinless. Nobody here is claiming to be perfect, amen? But what we are claiming is when we do sin, when we do mess up, God can show it to us so we can get the thing right. Hey, let me ask you something. What does God require for us to get it right? What did he say? Verse 9. If we, what? Confess our sins. What does it take to confess your sin? An honest evaluation of your heart. What's the Lord looking for? He's looking for an honest heart. See, an honest heart is one that God can deal with, and God can show when we messed up, when we're getting out of the will of God, when we're off over here, when we're doing wrong over there. He can make it known. He'll give light. We walk with him. He can make that known. That's not a problem. God will use some preacher many times in my life. Some preacher just got up and say something off the cuff or whatever, and boom, that's exactly what I needed. Right there. Thank you, Lord. Usually when I'm amen and loudest during the preaching is when the Lord's hitting me. I appreciate it. Amen. I appreciate when a preacher just get all over me and my sin and show it to me and let me see exactly where I'm at with God. Amen. That's the only way you're going to confess it. See? How are you going to confess it if you don't see it? But see, a lot of Christians, their attitude is when the preacher puts the light on that thing. See? I mean, suppose you're in here this morning and you've been viewing pornography on the internet and I go on and preach on it. What happens? You start getting nervous. Instead of saying, oh, God, you knew about that, huh? Amen. I need to get right. See? You understand what I'm saying? Know what I mean, jelly bean? The idea is you go in and the preacher starts hitting on your sin and it's like, hey, who does he think he is? Maybe he's been reading my mail. Has he been bugging me? What's? No, listen, God's trying to get you some light to get you fixed up. But you got to be honest with yourself. See, you got to be honest with your own heart. Where do I need to work in my life? Where am I falling? Where am I failing? Where do I need to improve? You got to be honest. Where are my beliefs off? Where are my motives off? Where's my talk off? Where's my walk not right? Where's my mind not right? I've seen many, brethren, I've seen many start out for God. Saved, happy they're saved, start getting in church. You know what happens? They start getting a little light. They start getting a little more light. And they don't like what they see. So you know what they do? They deceive their own selves. That Bible, when it talks about deception, you know the greatest person to deceive you is? Yourself. You'll deceive your own self. Yeah, he might be right, but I didn't like it. Well, you don't have to like it. Who said you're supposed to like it? You're supposed to like truth. Yes. Amen. Amen. And if the preacher says it and it's true, if a Christian brother or sister says it and it's true, take it. Right. Thank God for it. Thank God for the rebuke and do something about it. See? But you're only going to do that if you have an honest heart. You need to have an honest heart. And you get away from that light, and you get away from that light, and start withering, drying up on the vine before you know it. Jesus said to his disciples, "Will you also go away?" A bunch of them did. Why? He started giving them light. He started giving them that book. "Will you also go away?" You know what Peter's response was? "Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Amen. That's all. They were just interested in the light. They had an honest heart. That's who the Lord was looking for. You know, weeping willows don't bear fruit. We'll move on. Just something to ponder. Just came to me. Luke chapter 8. I just wrote it down here. I don't know. Just figured I'd say it. Yeah, but I'm pretty rooted and I got a lot of leaves. Yeah, but what good are you? Amen. Our job is to bear fruit. That's our purpose for being here, is to bear fruit. Amen. Look back there in verse 15. So if we're going to bear fruit, it requires what? Light. It requires an honest heart. No, not only that, what else does it require? Verse 15, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and what? Good heart." An honest and what? Good heart. You know what a good heart's going to do? An honest heart's going to receive it. What's the good heart going to do? Having heard the word, keep it. What's a good heart going to do? It's going to keep it. See? A good heart. "Well, Brother Ray, I know my Bible, and the Bible says there's none good but one, and that is God." I understand all that. See? When Adam and Eve fell, and the Lord said, "Behold, they are become as one of as us, to know good and evil," that's God. God knows good and evil. But see, God knows evil, but He never partakes of it. He never even thinks about partaking of it. You do. That's what happened when we fell, see? We're good and evil. And in each and every one of us, there's some good and there's some evil. But how much good and how much evil there is depends on the choices you make throughout your life. Amen. Every time you choose evil over good, you become more evil. Every time you choose good over evil, you become more good. That's the way those things go. Look back there in Luke chapter 6. That's all based on individual choices. You either choose to lean and have a bent toward the good, or you choose to lean and have a bent toward the evil. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 43. Verse 43. "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man..." Is it possible to have a good man? What does God consider a good man? It's a man with a good heart. Look, verse 45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart." You know what the Lord looks at? Man, see, is looking on the outward appearance. What God looking at? Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. That's how He chose David. He said, "A man after my own heart." That's what God's looking. He's judging your heart right now, throughout the week, throughout the years. See, it's not all about your abilities. That's not the main thing God's looking at. That's not the main thing God's interested in. He's interested in that heart. Amen. That's what He wants. That's what He's searching. That's what He's looking for. He's searching out that heart. He's looking for a good heart. Do you have a good heart? I mean, if you ask the average person, "Do you have a good heart?" What would they say? "Well, yeah. I don't have an evil heart. I have a good heart." You know? I mean, just natural reaction. We're all going to have that. "Oh, yeah, I have a good..." Well, do you? What does the Bible say about a good heart? What did Jesus say? "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." What kind of fruit's coming? Is it good fruit? Or is it corrupt fruit? "And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." A good heart. You have a good heart. You know what a good heart does? A good heart hates sin. Amen. A good heart hates sin. Why? A good heart knows that sin leads to death. A good heart loves righteousness. Why? Because a good heart knows that righteousness tendeth to what? Life. Are you pro-life or pro-death? So much of that has to do with your heart. Where does your heart lean? What's its propensities? Do you have a good heart? You know how you can tell the good heart of somebody? The reaction towards sin. And what this world has been about for years and years and years is to try to harden your heart and jade your heart for all the junk it's pouring in there. Amen. And you'll sit down and watch American Idol and American Gladiators and all the other garbage and just get you all mad. Oh, it's just a comedy. It's just a sitcom. It's okay. Yeah, but see, after you watch that thing after a while, you don't think homosexuality is all that bad. And after a while, it's okay to live together. See, they've been working on you. After a while, sin ain't that bad. You can laugh about it. Fools make a mock of sin. See? That's how that thing goes. And you've got to be careful about all that stuff. You've got to keep your heart. You've got to guard your heart. Don't you want a good heart? Look what the Bible has to say about that. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs. Well, look at a few verses real quick in Proverbs on that subject. Proverbs chapter 11. Look with me, please, in verse 19. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. What is your heart for? Does your heart love righteousness? Or does it love sin? See? What's it all about? Only, see, God knows your heart. Look in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life. What's the result of righteousness, brethren? It's fruitfulness. It's life. That's where it's at. It's not in sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. It's corruption. You're not going to get any fruit from that. A good tree brings forth good fruit. A corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. That's what it's all about. Look one more time there, chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse 21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, and righteousness and honor. Notice, righteousness always tends to life. Sin always tends to death. A good heart is one that has a propensity towards life, towards a desire for fruitfulness and good things. You're not going to find that in sin. You ought to hate sin. Amen. I said you ought to hate sin. I believe in hating the sinner and hating the sin and loving the sinner and all. Yeah, whatever. But some people, they just say that because they don't really hate the sin. Amen. You ought to hate it. I hate the sin. Amen. You got preachers today, like that junk I read earlier. Good night. Transgender ministers in the Episcopal Church. You think those people hate sin? They don't even know what sin is. The only thing they think is sin is probably you, a Bible-believing Christian. That's their idea of sin. Amen. That's how those things go. But listen, you're going to have a good heart. What's your estimation of sin? Is it no big deal? See, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you have a good heart, what's going to come out of here? You listening? Don't go to sleep on me now. If you have a good heart, what's going to come out of here? Turn to me, 1 Peter chapter 3. What's going to come out of here if you have a good heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See? You know what? So much of your good work, so much of your fruit is going to be based on what comes out of your lips. Did you know that? Think about it. So much of the fruit in your life is going to be based on what comes out of here. What did James say? Out of the same mouth cometh blessing, tends to life, and cursing tends to death. These things ought not so to be. Amen. What's coming out? Is it bringing corruption? Is it bringing cursing? Is it bringing harm? Is it bringing death? What's coming out? See, I know about your heart. All I have to know is what comes out of your mouth. Eventually, it'll slip out. I know the ones that are gossiping. That all slips out. Believe me, everybody knows you're a gossip. You're the only one that thinks you're not. Amen. Everybody else knows it. They know who to not tell anything to. Come on. Don't get quiet on me now. You're not quiet any other time. Come on. Right? Why is that coming out of there? See, the problem ain't here. Problem's there. How's your heart? See, a good heart, if you have a good heart, You're not seeking to destroy, you're seeking to bring life. You're seeking to bring fruit. You're seeking to edify. You're seeking to build up, not destroy, not tear down. Amen. You're seeking to bring life. Notice what he says, 1 Peter chapter 3. Look with me there in verse 10. Verse 10. For he that will love life, you love life? A good heart loves life. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. Is that you? You hate evil? That means hate. See, eschew. Eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Now, how can you have a good heart, and then some of you, probably somebody out this week was out smoking pot, and you're in church this morning, and you claim to be a Christian. Something wrong with your heart. The Lord just gave me that when I was up here. The Lord knows. I don't know. I haven't been following you. God knows. He saw what you did just this week. Amen. What are you going to do about it? You got an honest heart? You got a good heart? What are you going to do about it? You're going to get the thing right? You're going to confess it? Or are you going to lie to yourself and ruin your life and become an unfruitful Christian because you'd rather get mad at the preacher than mad at yourself? Amen, amen, amen. What does he say, verse 13? And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And that's that good heart. It's going to tend towards those good things. David was a man after God's own heart. And you know the verse, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What's the next verse? I, the Lord. He knows it. You can't know your own heart, but God does. So why don't you get with him? See, if you had a good heart and you had an honest heart, you know what you do? You get with God and say, God, would you please show me my heart? Because I can't show me my own heart because my own heart is going to deceive me about my own heart. Follow that? You have to get with God and say, now, God, you show me. What's going on here? Amen. Get that thing right. That's all. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give everyone according to the what? Fruits of his doing. Fruits. It's all a result of the heart. That's what Jesus is talking about. That seed going out. See, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You hear the preaching of the gospel of the grace of Christ. You believe on Christ. That seed gets in there and it begins to grow. But it's going to grow on ground. And that ground is your heart. And so much of how that seed is going to turn out and the fruit that you're going to produce is based on that ground. Hey, when you have to have God go in there and look, does he have to take his shoes off? You see, when we get on God's ground, what do we have to do? We have to take our shoes off because God's ground is holy ground. How's ours? You've been tending to it? You've been keeping it? I can't keep your heart for you. Your wife, your husband, nobody else can keep. You have to keep your own heart. That's something each one of us has to do. You got to keep that thing. You see something in there, get it out. Get it out. You see, when Jesus comes to Peter after he blew it and denied the Lord and all that, what's Jesus looking for from Peter? Well, Peter, are you going to preach and 5,000 get saved? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? No, none of that. Peter, I just need to know one thing. What's that? Do you love me? See, where's your heart? Lord, you know. He knows, doesn't he? Lord, thou knowest all things. Lord, you know that I love you. Could you say that to God? And be honest about it. Lord, you know everything. And Lord, you know all the stuff wrong with me, but Lord, you know. I love you. You know that Bible says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. How's it known of you? What did Jesus say? By their fruits, you shall know them. An honest and a good heart, receiving light from the Word of God, brethren, will bring fruit in our lives. Travis, keep it down, please, back there. Thank you. Amen. That's a blessing. Luke chapter 8. First time I heard your baby start crying in a service. Well, it's always a blessing the first time for each child. Amen. Won't be the last. All right. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Once again, look in verse 15. One other thing, brethren. One other thing required. Verse 15, but they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with, don't forget, with one thing, one ingredient, the fertilizer. One thing still missing. What is it? With patience. Light, an honest heart, a good heart. But brethren, even that won't bring the fruit that God truly desires from our life. You know what else is required? The thing we don't like. Patience. What is patience? Well, the Bible says tribulation worketh patience. Troubles, enduring, and keeping going in the hard times. It's through the trials. It's through the troubles. It's through the sufferings. It's through the problems that the opportunity for true fruit abounds. None of us can remain hothouse, potted plant Christians. Amen. It's okay for a while. Amen. Probably good for some of you. Get out of everything. Get out of all the interferences. That's what they got over there. That's the idea with that boys' home. That's the idea with some of our ministers. And what you want to do is try to separate people as much as possible from all that other cares and everything else and really just hold them off to themselves. Get them in that potted plant and get them growing and nurtured and making sure they have plenty of light and see. But you can't stay there. Sooner or later, you got to get out in the elements. That's where true fruit is produced. See? During the rainy season and the floods, during the dry and the heat and the cracking ground and the wind and the frost and the bugs and the fungus, and the birds, and the diseases. A fruitful tree is one that has been able to endure the elements. Because the husbandman is always there to make sure that it's never more than he believes that that tree can endure. But he's going to let it endure some things because that's what's going to strengthen that tree. That's what's going to allow its roots to get stronger. That's what's going to thicken up its bark. That's what's going to cause those vines to grow out stronger. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me. See, that's what you learn. With the patience, when you have to endure the elements. Without me, ye can do nothing. Where's all your fruit coming from? It ain't coming from you. Amen. It ain't coming from you. It's all coming from the Lord. Why does the Lord allow those trials? Why does he allow those sufferings? Why does he to get us to lean more on him and realize it's all him, it's all for him, it's all by him, it's all through him. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. He is our everything. And without him, we're nothing. You see, you can't do that in a hothouse. You got to get planted out there in the elements. You got to get your roots down. You got to learn to trust and lean in the Lord. You know what Jesus said there in John 15, verse 2? Every branch that beareth fruit, praise the Lord. Isn't that what he's looking for? Every branch that beareth fruit, glory to God, bearing fruit. Jesus comes by, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Lord's greedy. He's not happy with us just being fruitful. He wants all of us to be more fruitful. See, in our Christian lives, we can never kind of sit back on our leaves and we can never just say, okay, I've arrived. Uh-uh. And you start getting there, you know what the Lord will have to do? He'll have to come by and not a pleasurable experience. Lord, why did you let this happen? Lord, why is this going this way in my life? Oh, I'm just doing some pruning. Lord, why would you do that? Look at all you pruned all that, and how am I going to bear any fruit? Oh, no, trust me. It's getting stronger now. Now those limbs, they're going to be able to bear much more. It'll take a little while. You have to have some patience. But those things are going to come back so much thicker and so much stronger and so much more tolerant and resistant and full of endurance and hardened. It'll bring forth so much fruit that would have never brought forth before. That's God's desire. God's desire is fruitfulness. You can't stay a potted plant your whole life. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible said about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 6 that after he had endured patiently, he received the promise. What was the promise? That in blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thee. You want a fruitful life? What's it going to take? It's going to take light from the Word of God. But it's going to take an honest heart. It's going to take a good heart. And it's going to take some patience. It's going to take some suffering. You can't get that in a book. You live it. And the longer you stay with God, and the longer you stay right with Him, and you stay living for Him, and the Lord's able to prune on you and work on you, the more fruitful over time you become. But not without an honest heart. Not without light. Not without a good heart. But if you have all those elements mixed together, you'll bear fruit. You have God's word on it. He's given us the requirements for a fruitful life. That's God's desire. God wants to bless us. God wants us to have a fruitful life. We just need to make sure we're tending to the garden. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's stand for prayer. Amen. Looking forward to this evening with the string band. Let's have the piano player come forward and play us a little something. We've got some coming to the altar. How about it? Maybe tonight or maybe this morning, just maybe this should be your prayer. Lord, show me my own heart. I don't want to trust my heart to see my heart. I want you to show me my heart. Because if I try to show myself my heart, I'm going to deceive myself. I know me. But Lord, you show me. Lord, I want to have an honest heart. I want to have a good heart. Lord, I want to bear fruit. Maybe somebody here right now just suffering a little bit, going through some things. Feel like quitting. You don't quit now. It's fruitful times right around the corner. Have some patience. Have some patience. That's when the fruit will come. You stay at it. You stay at it. You don't quit. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That's the key. Get it, get it, get it, get it. Diligence. Diligence. I'm going to check out my heart every Sunday when I come to church. Diligence is 24/7, man. You're on guard. You're looking. You're watching. You're circumspect. Lord, you show me. What did David pray? Search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. That's something you can't do. That's something God does, and then he gives you the light on it. Lord, search my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the paths of righteousness. That's where the fruit is. That's where the life is. That's where the blessing is. Father, bless the message. I pray for these that have come to the altar, especially, and for all that are here under the preaching of the Word of God. God, help us to see our own hearts. Lord, you try them. You search them. And Lord, reveal to us what we need to see. May we be honest enough to see what needs to get fixed up. And God, we get it taken care of for thy glory. God, we're not going to bear fruit if we quit being diligent in our tending and keeping our own garden, our own heart. Have your way, Lord, in the service. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the light that you give us. Lord, help us to never despise the light. Help us to truly appreciate it, to love it, to love truth, even when it rubs us the wrong way, even when it offends us. May we love it more than our own breath, more than our own lives. Pray, Lord, for a revival meeting this week with Brother Knox. Pray you give him the messages, Lord, we need to hear. You may have heard some things this morning from some that have prayed about wanting to see their own heart. Now, Lord, this week, you be with that preacher as he comes. And God, you give him what we need to hear. God, that we'll be better Christians for. That will bear more fruit because of it. In Jesus' name. All right, hope you can join us this evening with the string band. Hope you can be here for that. Looking forward to it. And